Today's sermon is in three parts. Today we learn a profound, comforting, and yet often misunderstood aspect of our faith, divine providence, also known as divine sovereignty. So first, understanding divine providence. At its core, divine providence is the ever-active, never-ceasing care of God that upholds and governs all things in creation. It is the firm assurance that our Lord God, from the smallest atom to the vast cosmos, is in sovereign control, weaving together the threads of existence into a tapestry of His perfect design. The Apostle Paul beautifully encapsulates this in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from our Father's will. Not a hair on our heads is lost without His knowledge. Such is the precision, the intricacy, the intimacy of God's providence. We're neither abandoned to fate nor tossed about by random chaos. But we exist, we thrive, we matter within the loving embrace of a God who knits us together in our mother's womb and who numbers the stars and even calls them by name. But divine providence is not merely about God's control and ultimate sovereignty. It is also about His unfathomable goodness. It is the resounding affirmation that God in His providence is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Remember the narrative of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused and forgotten in prison. Joseph could have questioned the goodness of God's providence. Why me? Yet in the magnificent unfolding of God's plan, we see how Joseph's trials were but the prelude to his elevation to Pharaoh's right hand and ultimately to the preservation of his family in the midst of a severe famine. A beautiful story also of forgiveness. Now, God's providence is like that, my friends. It's often mysterious, at times even baffling, but always, always good. Even in our trials, in our pains, in the wild seasons of our lives, God is working for our ultimate good and for His ultimate glory. One of the greatest comforts of understanding divine providence is the certainty of God's personal involvement in our lives. Our Lord is not a distant deity, a puppeteer of sorts, disinterested and detached from this world and from you. Instead, as the Scriptures reveal to us, He is our loving Father, deeply involved in our daily lives, guiding us, shaping us, providing for us, using even our failures and struggles for His purposes, for our good. It paints a picture of God who walks with us through every joy, every trial, every mundane moment, and promises to bring His perfect plans to fruition. Thus, divine providence becomes a source of tremendous comfort and security for us Christians. As the psalmist says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord will watch over your coming in and your going out, both now and forevermore." He's there. And yet, while we breathe easy under the warmth of such care and watchfulness, it behooves us to remember that divine providence is not a doctrine designed for our comfort alone. It's also a call, a daily challenge to relinquish our illusion of control, to submit to the authority of our God, to trust in His wisdom above our own, and to align our wills with His. For His ways are not our ways, nor are His thoughts our thoughts. The doctrine of divine providence humbles and reduces us to the right size before our mighty Creator. It reminds us that we are His creatures, His handiwork, dependent upon Him for our every breath. As it is written, in Christ alone do we live and move and have our being. Hence we are compelled to trust in His wisdom, His timing, and His love, even when our limited understanding fails to grasp His purposes in the moment. It is a call to rest, to surrender, to faithfully submit ourselves into the arms of an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-loving God, who is our Father, working all things for His glory and for our good. Having begun then to grasp the wonder and the wisdom of divine providence, we now come to our second pillar of our exploration, and that is trusting in divine providence and uncertainty. Trusting in divine providence amid uncertainty. Life is unpredictable. Often it teeters on the uneasy precipice of uncertainty. On this road less traveled, we encounter unexpected turns, unforeseen valleys, and at times frightening cliffs like the youth group and I saw this past week in the Black Hills. I had no idea that they just go straight up. Watch out for rocks. Now, along our seemingly treacherous journey, and Pastor is still sore from that, we find ourselves grappling with questions that have no easy answers, wrestling with doubts that appear, at least in the moment, to be larger than our faith. Yet it is precisely in the midst of this uncertainty, this disquiet, that the doctrine of divine providence remains like an immovable rock upon which we may stand. And I had to cross that creek a few times, you know, whoa, stepping on the rocks, slipping on the moss, you know. Doctrine of divine providence is a secure rock. We can stand on it. We can build our houses upon this rock. When the tempest of uncertainty rages around us, the doctrine of divine providence calls us to trust not in the certainty of outcomes, not in the predictability of circumstances, but in the unchanging nature of our God, who is, as we just sang, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Solid rock. It calls us to trust in His wisdom that sees the end from the beginning, in His love that wills only our good, in His power that upholds the universe in His hand. The story of our father Abraham is a testament to such trust. God called Abraham to leave his homeland, and He promised his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. At His word, Abraham embarked on a journey filled with uncertainty. And yet, in the face of the unknown, the end of his journey not seen, he trusted in God's promise. He trusted in God's providence. Even when asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, the very embodiment of that promise, Abraham did not falter. His trust was not in what he could see, understand, or control. His trust was in the one who called him. Abraham knew that his God was a God of providential care, a God that could even raise the dead to fulfill his promise. As heirs of Abraham's faith, we are called to that same trust. In the face of our uncertainties, our doubts, our fears, we are called to trust in the same God who, in order to fulfill his promises, sent his own beloved Son to die for us and rise again from the grave so that we might trust in him and in his providential care in every aspect of our daily lives. Now, trusting in God's providence does not mean we will understand every twist and every turn of our journey. It does not mean that we will have answers to all our questions or crystal clear solutions to all our problems. Rather, it means that we can rest assured that God in his wisdom, his power, his love is in control. It means that even when we walk through the darkest valleys, we fear no evil, for we know that our shepherd is with us. This trust, it is not blind or naive. It is not faith for faith's sake. It's a trust rooted in the reality of God's manifest goodness in human history, recorded for us. It's rooted in his unchanging nature, his steadfast covenantal love, and his faithfulness proven to all men. It is a trust anchored in Christ and in his cross on Calvary, where God demonstrated and made known to us his atoning, self-sacrificial love. To trust in this divine providence is to find in that crucified Lord peace amid uncertainty, rest amid turmoil, forgiveness amid transgressions, and hope amid despair. It is to echo the words of Job, who, even in the depths of his suffering, declared with unwavering faith, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Such was the faith of our Lord. And so take courage, my brethren. Trust in God and in his Son. Trust in his timing. Trust in his plan. Trust in his manifest love for you. For his love is our refuge. His wisdom is our guide. And in his hands, we are secure, come what may. In the words of the Apostle Peter, "Therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." In the light of our understanding of divine providence and the trust we are given, even in the face of uncertainties, we now look at our third point of emphasis for this sermon, our active response to divine providence. Redeemed of the Lord, understanding and trusting in God's providence should not leave us idle or passive. On the contrary, it actually inspires us to take action and stirs us up in three very significant ways: gratitude, obedience, and service. Firstly, we respond with gratitude. As recipients of God's providential care, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. Every blessing we enjoy, every breath we take, every beat of our heart is a testament to God's providential care. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." May your hearts then be filled with profound gratitude by the grace of he who redeemed you, thanking our Heavenly Father at all times and in all places for his constant care for you. Secondly, we respond to God's providential care with faithful obedience. These are all gifts. I'm not demanding it of you. It's what you are. Now, recognizing that God's providence is at work in our lives drives us to yield to Him, even when it is difficult. Our obedience comes forth as an act of trust, acknowledging that God knows best and submits to His will. It's proclaiming with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Finally, we respond to divine providence with service. God's providence is not simply for our passive benefit. It also equips us for active service to help our neighbors. As recipients of God's grace, we are called forth to be channels of His grace to others. And to present, God providentially places you in different situations, in different relationships, and He equips you with the skills and presents you with numerous opportunities, all for the purpose of helping somebody else for their good. Thus, God's providence calls us not to a life of idleness, but a life of active faith marked by God-given gratitude, obedience, and service. Consider then, lastly here, the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. Despite suffering numerous hardships, imprisonments, beatings, shipwrecks, Paul remained thankful, obedient, and a fervent servant of the Lord. That was the gift of faith. He acknowledged that it was God's gracious providence that led him through all these circumstances, ultimately for the furtherance of Christ's gospel down to this day for you and for me. Could he have even imagined suffering those things for us? I don't think he could. But it's the truth. He suffered those things and they are recorded for us. In the same way, the Lord has blessed you with a faith like Paul, a faith that is living and active, with a heart full of gratitude for His unfailing love, with a will that constantly sacrifices itself to His will, and with satisfying and fulfilling work to do in the service of His kingdom. To sum up, dear brothers and sisters, the doctrine of divine providence is not a mere intellectual exercise for theologians and pastors, but a life-transforming truth. It is a truth that brings comfort, instills trust, and inspires action. As we grow in our understanding of this blessed doctrine, may we respond by God's grace with ever-increasing gratitude, obedience, and service through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.